Welcome to the podcast. This podcast is entitled What to Tell Your State Legislator. I've been meaning to write an email for a while to my state legislators. I have three, which is kind of weird, the way that my state is set up. I have two representatives and one senator, but there are things that I think we can do to help influence people. I emailed one a couple months ago who's not my own state legislator because I saw him on a on that website, Citizen Free Press. There was a video of him at a school board meeting trying to give a speech to the school board. And they shut him down, and everybody in the room was yelling and all this, like, hey, come on. And so I emailed him saying, good job. And he said, good, I'm glad my state is, it was about trans stuff in the schools. And he said, good, I'm glad the state's waking up to this, because that school board had made some crazy rules and stuff. So my own state legislator, I called about something and he answered. This happened in the state I used to live in too. After the election, I called my state senator and I said, hey, I'm worried about that they stole the election. And he said, yeah, they stole it, but what are we going to do about it? He was just kind of like, yeah, they stole it. And I thought, dude, what? And I contacted other people in the state government with an email, and they were just like, they either didn't respond or they're just like, yeah, whatever. Because, well, anyway, not to get off on that too far, but I think a lot of them just don't care whatever it takes to get rid of Trump. So if the Democrats cheated, I don't think they even really care. They think he's Hitler too, so they want to get rid of him. But that's beside the point. That's not what this podcast is about necessarily. So here are some things that you could maybe email them about. What I'm going to do is start emailing them, or actually I think I'm going to send them physical letters about one thing, because if I dump a whole bunch of things on them, that's the thing about state legislators. Most of them are just people like you and me. I mean, most of them are like, you know, business owners, frankly. If you go look, most of them from what I've seen are business owners. I don't know, in California where they're full time, they're like a Congress, and I think they make like $100,000 or something. And so it's like a really coveted job. In most states, they're just like a part time gig, and they're almost like doing it for service. I think one of the problems though is the business people get in there so that they can keep taxes low and stuff like that, which is good. I mean, you know, taxes should be low. We shouldn't have higher taxes than necessary, but we also shouldn't have business interests running the government. But anyway, everybody should have a voice. There should be multiple centers of power. So, a few things, and these are from my own experience. I'm going to write some of this is what I'm going to tell mine. I was at a training, and at work, and we had somebody come there and give us this woke training. The first training was about how to reach Latino people, right? But it just turned into like how to get them to vote. And then it turned into ballot harvesting. And I'm like, dude, what the heck is this? And then the next lady was talking about, you know, people should draw a map of themselves and all their different identities, and like, I'm a black woman, trans, whatever. And I remember thinking, what's the point of this? And what the point of it is so you can put yourself on the oppression scale. She didn't say that, but that's why you would do that. What's the point of that otherwise? So, and there was this lady there like taking notes, like this was, you know, like real training, not just BS indoctrination. And it was this lady who's like 25 and she just got out of college and she was teaching us about microaggressions and telling us to use our pronouns and all that. And I was new, so I didn't want to say anything, but I just thought, this is like somebody who just graduated from the postmodernist seminary that is college now and is coming to preach to us about her religion. And she doesn't even realize it. She doesn't even realize that she's been indoctrinated into this secular religion. And she just expects us all to... The problem was she thought we were all like old fogies, right? Everybody who's 25 now knows everything. And everybody older than them is just a dinosaur. Anyway, I'm going to email them about that and say, this shouldn't happen when people from the government are giving a training. Training that you're required to go to, right? And given if you're... It's like sexual harassment training, right? If you've ever been to sexual harassment training, like all businesses have it. And you have to go to it. And generally, it's pretty legitimate stuff. But that's what this is turning into. And none of this is legitimate stuff. Like, it's stupid. It's all pure ideology. And I think if, you know, think about who's in the state legislature. Business owners, lawyers, politicians, ranchers, you know, people who can take some time off a couple months out of the year to go make laws. They don't know this is going on. And they're average citizens like you and me. So we need to tell them what we think. Because think if you did this. Think if you ran and you're like, yeah, I just want to help out. I just want to help my state. You would be concerned. I was on a small board in this really small town I used to live in. And one time I had a voter come up to me. I knew the guy anyway, but he came up to me to talk about this. And every time I was in a meeting after that, it gave me more confidence to, because I knew this guy was passionate about this certain issue. And so I thought, well, this guy cares about this. So I'm not just, you know, out here on my own. And I think we need to give them backup and not give them a backbone, because that implies they don't have a backbone. I mean, I'm sure some of them don't, but we need to give them backup, and we need to, so that when they're there and they're putting themselves out there, right? Because they could get canceled. Like I saw one of mine on TV. It wasn't mine, but it was in my state. And there was this trans person saying, this stuff saved my life. Basically, because he didn't kill himself, right? That didn't save your life. You weren't going to die from thinking that you're not the gender that you actually are. That's not a terminal illness. Nobody dies from that. They don't kill themselves because they've been told that, well, I don't know. I don't know all about it. But one of the tactics is to threaten your parents that you're going to commit suicide if you don't get the hormones. That's what they do. That's what they've been taught to do. So anyway, that's what this kid was saying. And you could tell, looking at the legislators, they're like, dang, I don't want to speak up against this. I'm sure they're thinking, I don't want to get canceled, you know? So we got to tell them, hey, thanks for sticking your neck out. Okay, so that's one thing I'm going to email mine about. And I have firsthand knowledge of that. That's not like something I read on an article, right? Sorry, the audio. I used to hang my microphone from the ceiling of my vehicle that I do my podcast in. And now I just decided to hold it, which isn't ideal. But anyway, so if the audio is weird, then that's why. So they made, in my old state, they made foster parents go through this training about trans, and it was just straight up ideology. There was no science. There's no science behind it anyway. And so But they told the foster parents, oh, this is how it goes. And then they made them take a test at the end. And these people couldn't be foster parents if they didn't do this training. And so they made them answer the questions that are preposterous, that are ridiculous, that are like a religious test, right? I don't mean a religion. I mean, it's like that, in that they teach you an ideology and you have to say it or else you can't be a foster parent. And if you're trying to adopt a kid, you're going to lose that kid. So think of the threat of that. That's completely outrageous. The idea that they're forcing people to abide by a doctrine that they don't believe, and that is insane. And so, not that there aren't trans people with that issue. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they made them act like they agreed with it, like it's the gospel truth, like it's just a matter of fact that all of these crazy gender ideology things are true. That should not happen. Would you demand that they acknowledge that the Catholic Church is the only way back to God or whatever, or acknowledge Hinduism or Islam or whatever it might be? It's the same thing. It's the same. I'm not saying religions are exactly that, but you see what I'm saying. They're an ideology. They're a belief system. And you can't force people to believe in your belief system under threat of being canceled or having their kids taken away, or kids that they're hoping to adopt. I mean, as far as I know, most foster parents are religious anyway. And so if you alienate that group, you're not going to have any foster parents, people. So that's something that your legislator might want to know about. After Roe versus Wade was overturned and the decision for abortion was sent back to the states, I had the idea, and I still need to email my legislators, that you could start a program. And I got this idea from Dick Morris is his name. And he said, hey, and you could tell he's not pro-life, but he said, like, all these pro-life people need to put their money where their mouth is. If they're going to demand that women have babies, even though they can't support them or don't want to support them, then you need to prepare a fund that pays for them to have the baby and that pays for them to get adopted. And I thought, well, that's a really good idea. And, you know, it sucks because the whole conservative idea of personal responsibility and people who are like, well, that's not my baby, it's not my problem, you deal with it, right? Okay, yeah, there's something to that. Sorry, I keep taking drinks. I'm trying to lower the editing time that it takes to do these. And I keep taking drinks because I have a sore throat, I'm sick. Anyway, I thought, there's got to be 10,000 people in each state, at least, depending on the size of the state, who could adopt a kid, who it might be an inconvenience, but they would do it. I think a lot of people don't adopt kids because they don't know that there's a need for it. And you could go to churches and say, we need one family from every congregation to adopt a kid. And you'd have a ton of kids get adopted by good families. So you could partner with the churches or other organizations, whatever. It doesn't have to be churches, but that's one that's generally family oriented, and a lot of religious people adopt kids anyway. And they could be recruited to do that. And you could prepare a fund for those who maybe can't afford it. And you could use that fund also to help the moms with the medical bills. The thing is, if the mom's poor, she's just going to get Medicaid anyway, especially for pregnancy. There's like, I think there's a, there used to be anyway, a special Medicaid for just for pregnancy. And so you could easily set that up. And in this whole stress of, oh, I can't pay for all of that, would that excuse would, or that, I don't, that reason for getting an abortion would be gone. And so, and they could say, and we're gonna set you up with a family that wants to adopt a baby. And so the moms who don't want to abort their kids will have an avenue. And in the states where they can't abort their kids, then the state will help them figure it out. The other thing, well, this is a separate thing. I don't know if I'll recommend this. Just have the government pay to get people's tubes tied. Like, I don't know if that's, if you can undo that is the problem. But, you know, well, anyway, we don't need to get into the abortion argument, but that might be the solution for some of these people if they don't want to have a baby. In the state I used to live in, I went to the, it was a rural area, so they had like this state clinic there. And I went there a couple times. And when the time I went there that I remember when I filled out all the paperwork, they had this gender section and it had like 20 things listed under it. I should have taken a picture of it. I don't know why I didn't. It was insane. It was like the Twilight Zone. And I thought, what the heck is this? It doesn't just have male or female. And that's completely insane. I don't, that's just nuts. And so I was at a children's hospital once filling one of those out and it said preferred pronouns on it. And I know they don't only have little kids there, but come on, why are we pushing this on kids? This is madness. Kids need to be taught true things, not manipulated and brainwashed into insane things. I just... But anyway, this was on a state form. And so that needs to be... If that's going on in your state, I guarantee you there are state legislators who don't want that. And they will stamp it out if you tell them what's going on, because they don't know. So that's something you could send in and say, hey, we need to write a law that says state forms will have male and female on them. This is ideology. We're not going to let it creep into our state and be pushed on us because this is stupid and we don't believe in it. And I don't have to believe in it. There is no other. There is no non-binary. You cannot like the fact that you're one of the genders. But gender's not a constellation. It's binary. There's one or the other. And there's nothing else to say. And the postmodernists are trying to jam this down our throat and cancel everybody who disagrees with them like tyrants. And we just have to say no. Now, are there feminine men and more masculine women? Yeah, sure. Can adults do whatever the heck they want? Yeah, I care about them, but I don't think I can stop them. But I don't have to agree with them. And I'm not going to say that, yeah, there's more than two genders, because there aren't. There are two. And I could maybe be convinced that sex and gender are different, but I cannot be convinced that they can be changed. This is madness. And everybody knows it, except postmodernists who have been brainwashed. Like you'll hear people online when you argue with them. Well, what if they have a girl who has a penis? What, dude, what are you talking about? A girl can't have a penis. Sorry, that's not how it works. You've lost your minds. You've been brainwashed. So legislators need to know that we're serious about this, because this is coming for our kids and our entire civilization. And they'll try to say, it's not that big of a deal. Just be tolerant. You have to be tolerant of me too. It's a free country. And I don't get to jam my beliefs down your throat, and you don't get to do it to me either. And that's what you're doing, because nobody believes in this. Here's another thing about this. They want it to be a democracy when it benefits them, and then they want it to be a republic when it benefits them. The vast majority of people don't believe in this, but they're using the rights. See, in a pure democracy, you don't really have rights. If the only rule is majority rule, then the majority gets what it wants. But in a republic like we have, there are some things on which the majority won't rule, and those are rights. So they've hijacked that, and they said, no, this is a right, so you have no say. But then when they want to jam something down our throat, no, the people want this. Your rights don't matter, but my rights matter when I want them to matter, but your rights never matter because the majority doesn't want what you want. Or when something blocks majority rule, like the Electoral College, or like the courts, or the Senate, they want to do away with that. But when rights help them, and when the republic helps them, then they love it. It's just, it's crazy. Okay. Last thing. Election integrity starts in the states. There are no federal elections. Right? Just keep that in mind. There are no federal elections. Maybe if you want to count the elections in D.C., okay. But they're still run by D.C. as far as I know. And so, the federal government doesn't run your state's elections. Your state government runs your elections. The federal government oversees elections to make sure people's rights aren't being violated. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But so they've been involved over time, you know, with like Jim Crow and all that. But pretty much at this point, there isn't a place where people can't vote. Let's be honest. They like to say that with the voter ID crap and ballot harvesting. That's just so they can cheat. Let's just, come on. It's just so they can cheat. If somebody wants to vote, they can vote. This is stupid. Okay? And what do you know? All the states that have 100% mail-in voting, they're pretty much all Democrat, except like Utah, right? And that one's going Democrat. So I don't think that's just a coincidence. But we need to make sure that now, and this needs to be made clear. I don't want my side to win. I want a fair election. And the onus is not on me to prove that there was fraud. The onus is on the people running the election to prove that it was on the up and up, whatever you want to call it, that it was legitimate. So if I ask a question and I say, prove to me there was no fraud, that's their job to figure that out. It's not my job as a citizen to prove that there was fraud, because how am I going to do that? You're the one running the election. This is your job. And you're responsible to make sure it was legit. Not call me an election denier or say that I'm, you know, dangerous or whatever because I doubt the election. Go watch a video about the fall of the Soviet Union. And when they finally had real elections in Eastern Europe, that you see boxes of ballots being poured out on video and then counted in public. That's so you don't have the kind of elections we have now, which is what they had in the Soviet Union. They had sham elections in the Soviet Union, which is what we're kind of in now, I think. It's a sham. Our elections are not fair. They are rigged and they cheat. And if that continues, the country is over. And so our legislators need to make sure there are processes in place to stop all the fraud. This is, I think, the end of the country if we don't stop this. Because you could live in a country maybe where they don't have elections. You could live in a country where it's like, I have no political say, but the king is a good guy. Right? And I have rights and we have courts. Right? I don't want that, but I'm just saying, like, a country could function that way. A democracy can't function when the when there's sham elections. You can't, no one has rights. Like, nobody trusts anything. The government is silencing people. Everything's a police. Every government agency is used to harass and oppress people. And then the people don't know what to do because they're supposed to have a real election. And then it just turns into an argument over the election. So the idea that there are normal people like me who doubt the legitimacy of our election is, it's the end of the republic if we have that continue. Like, go look at the midterms. All the polls said the Republicans were going to win huge. And then they didn't win. They barely won the House. It looks to me like they stole the election for governor in Arizona. And they stole the Senate seat in Nevada. And then 9 o'clock that night, Republicans are saying, it's all because of Trump. It's all because of Trump. How do you know it's all because of Trump? The polls were up. Were the polls because of Trump? Are the polls wrong? Why are the polls so wrong? I mean, the polls were wrong the last two elections. I mean, if you think I heard Dennis Prager say, if you thought Hitler was up for re-election, would you cheat to keep Hitler from winning election? And he's like, I would. So that's where they're at. The other side is there. And I think a lot of people in the Republican Party are there. They think Trump is Hitler, and they will do anything to keep him out of power, including cheating or letting the Democrats cheat. And they justify it by saying, we're saving the republic. We had to destroy the republic to save it. And everyone's forgetting that January 6th was about election integrity. This is what they were going to do. They were going to have 24 hours of people talking about election fraud on the floor of the Senate and the House. That was the goal. The people didn't show up there to riot. They showed up there to protest and express their outrage that they think the election was stolen. And that's what they were going to object to on the floor. And they started to do it. Senator Cruz and I don't know which person from Arizona stood up and both objected, because you have to have a senator and a House member. They stood up. They went to their respective chambers. Cruz gave a speech and said, we need an election commission. Stun the American people and give them an election commission. And he sat down. I think Senator Langford from Oklahoma stood up to make a speech. And in the middle of his speech, I was watching it live. In the middle of his speech, somebody comes over to him and interrupts him. And then they leave the floor. And then, what the heck's going on? Right? And so if you thought that Hitler's minions were trying to get him reelected, and you wanted to kind of stage a protest or stoke a protest or make a protest, a riot worse, wouldn't you do it? And if you thought the SA was outside of your Capitol building and you could get a bunch of them to go into the Capitol or break some windows and help them commit crimes, wouldn't you do it? Like, look, the FBI destroyed the Black Panthers by infiltrating them. So they do this kind of thing. And everyone forgets, wait, this protest was about election integrity, not Trump. not whatever else. We thought the election was stolen, and we deserve to have our case heard, because we're half the country. We're not just a few crazies. Look, everyone knows there's election fraud. Even George Stephanopoulos, he was interviewing Rand Paul, and he said, will you just admit that Biden won this election fair and square? And Rand Paul knew he couldn't say otherwise because there was an insurrection. So it's like the Civil War, right? That's why they did that the next day. They said it's an insurrection, and so we're Abraham Lincoln now, protecting the Republic. I mean, come on. It's the traitors running the nut house, right? They're traitors. They're scum. They use their influence to buy stocks and trade, do insider trading. They're scum. When they were trying to pass that COVID bill, Pelosi said, oh, wait, we got to get stuff for the people. And then she got all these payoffs for all of her political friends, not for the people. They are liars. People who vote for them are being manipulated. People on our side are being manipulated too by the idiots in our party. Don't get me wrong. But they act like they're righteous. They act like they care about America. They're protecting democracy. They're just protecting their guy, and they don't want it to be exposed that he cheated to win the election. Prove me wrong. And then they say, it's been to 50 different courts and blah, blah, blah. The courts didn't look at the evidence. The courts just dismissed it. They didn't look at, I mean, how do you explain all of this stuff? You can't explain it all. They cheated. Look, and all you got to do is steal 6 Democrat cities. All you got to do is steal Phoenix to win Arizona. All you got to do is steal Philadelphia to win Pennsylvania. Steal Atlanta to win Georgia. Steal, I don't know what it is, Minneapolis or whatever other place they stole. And look, why do you think Georgia, but then there's the argument, well, they reelected their governor. I don't know. Maybe they didn't cheat in that election. Maybe they didn't cheat at all. But I'm not convinced that they didn't. And they're not bothering to convince me because they just want to silence us. They don't want to. This is not governing. This is tyranny. And they're like, oh, it's just tyranny because your guy didn't win. No, it's tyranny because I think it was stolen. And I think there's a lot of evidence that it was stolen. How do you dismiss that video? They told everyone to go home. Then they start counting ballots after everyone went home. That is not legal. We have laws for a reason, to keep the elections legal. Do you think people are above cheating? Of course they're not. That's why we have to monitor them. And they abused COVID. They kept Republicans out because Republicans are the SA, because Republicans are for Hitler. Do you see? And so, when they were all fired up about mail-in ballots, why do you think? And once the ballots go in, they're all anonymous. Who recounts? That's ridiculous. If you're auditing fake ballots, that means nothing. You steal it before the election happens. You steal it before the votes are counted because a lot of those votes are fake. But nobody signs their ballot. They sign the mail-in envelope. And then they open the ballot, or they open the envelope, take the ballot out, and put it in the ballot box or whatever they put it in. So you can recount those all day. It wasn't a failed count. It's cheating. It's stuffing the ballot box. And you have all these Republicans who care more about their turf war with Trump than they care about legit elections. So they're willing to suffer through a Democratic administration.
because they want Trump out. Look, President Bush, I can't remember the guy's name. Is it Steny? I don't know. I think it was some Democrat from South Carolina. No, I don't know. Some Democrat from South Carolina, I think. Because South Carolina is where Biden pulled ahead in the primary, right? So they like made a deal. The Democrats made a deal. And all, as far as I know, all the blacks voted for Biden and because he was going to pick a black VP. And so that was like the deal that they made. And at the inauguration for Biden, Bush is standing there talking to a bunch of Democrats. And he says, "This guy saved the country," pointing at a Democrat who made the deal to get Biden to be the nominee. You're a Republican. And when your stupid rhino candidates get nominated, we vote for them. We vote for McCain. We vote for George W. Bush. We vote for Romney. We push them. We're sincere, and we think that they're going to help us save the country, and you call us hobbits. Derogatorily. Hobbits should be revered, but I don't think McCain really understands hobbits. But anyway, I don't think McCain was okay, but he was one of those who's two-faced, and he would only attack Republicans. He would never attack the other side, which I don't understand. And that's where this idea of the uniparty comes from. And so these guys see us as the enemy. They don't see the Democrats as the enemy. And not all Democrats are the enemy. But their party is. Their party is a bunch of communists at this point. And stupid Romney quoting his church's hymn, "Do what is right, let the consequence follow." Oh, don't bring that into it. This is all political because you're butthurt because you didn't get to be the Secretary of State. That's why. What has Romney ever done for us? He's a one-term governor of Massachusetts. What else? A milquetoast senator from Utah who only got elected because he's Mormon. I mean, that's the definition of a carpetbagger. He never lived in Utah except when he went to college there. And then he lived in Massachusetts for his whole adult life. And then he moves to Utah for like a year, has a vacation house there or whatever, and then gets elected from Utah and is a complete rhino. And Utah's going blue anyway, going whatever, purple anyway. But the Mormon governor there gave his pronouns to a kindergarten class. Like, dude, what? These people have lost their minds. So anyway, I say you email them about election integrity. I don't know exact or physically mail them or call them. If you Google them, a lot of them have their home phone numbers on there because nobody ever calls them. I heard this state legislator in Georgia. He was on some, I don't know if it was War Room or what. And he's like, "I have gotten hundreds of calls or a whole bunch of calls from constituents concerned about the election." And he's like, "I never get calls. Nobody ever calls me." So he was fired up about this because he knew his people were fired up about it. So they respond. They care too. They're not in DC. They're among us. And so some of them are scum, but I bet most of them aren't. I bet most people in Congress aren't, but the ones who have been there for 30 years, they've lived in D.C. longer than they ever lived in their state. So I don't think they care about us. They come around at election time, right? And, throw us a bone, rattle their, like Mitch McConnell. He was at a rally and he held up this old musket like, "Yeah." And he's the biggest swamp creature ever, right? Like, he's good on some issues, like all Republicans are, but he's still a swamp creature, and he thwarts everything that we try to do. I mean, that he doesn't agree with, right? He's a swamp creature, and he closes ranks around. Like, look at when Tucker Carlson started releasing those things from the January 6th, they all went crazy. they all went crazy. I mean, let us see what happened. And they're like, we believe the report from the Capitol Police. Fine. I'm glad you believe that. It's the people's house. Show us the dang videos. And that all just went away because the leader of the Senate came out and threatened a journalist. He threatened someone on TV. Think about that. He said, this guy needs to be silenced because he's going to expose us. This government is corrupt. It is thoroughly corrupt. But I don't think the states are all thoroughly corrupt yet. So I think something you could do, email your state legislator, call your state legislator, just call them and say, I have a comment. They'll probably be surprised. The guy I called both times, the one time I called and she's like, he's out at the ranch. Both of them happened to be ranchers. Anyway, the one in my old state, but I'll give you his phone number. So I guess I like called his cell phone or whatever. And then, I called another one. I called my house member in my old state and his wife answered the phone. She's like, he's not here, but he's fired up about the voting machines. He's angry about the voting machine, you know? So he knows that they stole it in that state. Oh, and my guy here who answered, he's new. He replaced some old guy who resigned or didn't run. And he talked to me for a minute, you know? And when I talk on the phone, I guess I sound really young. Like sometimes when I answer the phone, people don't know I'm an adult. I don't know what. Maybe because I answer the phone differently than I talk normally. Anyway, so he talked to me for a little bit about the issue. He seemed like a nice guy. Seemed like he was in it to try to do some good. Not corrupt yet. So that's what I suggest. Email him about stuff, you know, come up with your own thing. But this is what I've learned from the war room. Do something. Call somebody. Call them, say, I have a comment, and they'll say, okay, what's your comment? Especially if you call somebody in D.C., because they're doing that all day. But they do write it down. They do listen to answering machines more than emails, because an email could just be cranked out by a robot or bot, right? You can't fake yet, I guess, a phone call. Somebody took the time out of their day to call legislators. So, well, what else are we supposed to do? There's not much else we can do. So we can at least do this. And people are scared to do it, but some of them care, and it will give them more, I want to say backbone, but it's some of them you scare them too, because they're like, oh crap, I might lose my next election. So either way, I don't really care how it happens. If they're scared of us so they don't vote a certain way, even though they want to, fine. If we call them and give them courage, then that's fine too. I don't really care as long as they vote the way I want. All right, well, those are my suggestions. Thank you for listening.